hear God's word as we read from Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." After the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Here's the ending of our reading of God's word with the prayer for its understanding. Let us seek God in prayer and ask him to bless this to our hearts. Oh Lord, we pray that you will open the hearts of your people to hear, to understand, to apply, and to obey that word which you have given us this day. Open that word that it may be the voice of Christ as he speaks through it, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this story in which we come to in our study in the book of Acts is a well-known story of the conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch. But this story appears in the book of Acts for a purpose. It is recorded here, I believe, for the explanation of the Lord's plan for the missionary expansion of the church. If you remember again, that key verse for the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in which Jesus said that we are to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I would submit to you that the conversion of this single African man is placed here as a result of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that missionary expansion to the uttermost parts of the earth. He was an African from a different continent returning home. We don't know for certain, but it appears here in Scripture, and it appears perhaps for the reason that we can attribute to this man and to others the great growth of the Church of Jesus Christ that spread through the rest of the world. It's not apparent here, but if you think for a moment of the great teachers that have come from the African continent and the influence that they've had, it seems to me that it might possibly be that this Ethiopian eunuch might have been the spark that lit the fire. The names of Cyprian and Tertullian may not be names that you recall offhand, but they are important. They were great leaders in the African church. But the one that you should know, I'm certain you understand that name, I've heard it many times, is St. Augustine. St. Augustine was a bishop in Hippo, the African church, and his influence was worldwide. His influence extended to the days of John Calvin, who read the writings of Augustine extensively and actually built much of his theology on the writings and the teachings and the theology that he found in St. Augustine. St. Augustine was famous for that battle with the Pelagian monk who denied scripture. And the history of the church goes back and is rooted in what happened in that African continent, but that spread, as I said, through the ends of the earth. If it spread through Calvin and through his ministry, do you think it spread to you? Well, trace our roots back. Presbyterianism goes back to John Calvin because John Knox was tutored by John Calvin. He left John Calvin, went back to his homeland, and established the Presbyterian Church. John Calvin was in France and responsible for the great growth of the Reformed Church, which invaded the continent of Europe, and then it skipped the ocean, as we know well, and the Reformed Church was firmly planted on American soil some 400 years ago, or so many years ago. So the influence that you can see is traced back, I think, not only to Augustine in the 5th century, but I think it can be traced back to our Ethiopian eunuch. But nevertheless, the Ethiopian eunuch story is placed here to tell us about God's missionary expansion program. This single African became the sweet fragrance of the gospel and the plan of God and his salvation for all nations. And we see that immediately when we are told that he's an Ethiopian. This is the gospel now going beyond the borders of Jerusalem and Judea and even Samaria. And the Lord picks up Philip and says, I want you to go. And what is Philip engaged in while he's doing that? He's engaged in a great revival. A great revival. The preaching of Philip, as we read it in the previous verses, we are told that many people came to know and trust Jesus Christ. But God had a plan, and he said, I want you to go, and I want you to speak to this man. And he was directed to this God-fearing man. Verse 27 notes that he came to Jerusalem to worship, but he had gone there to worship, which for this man was a considerable undertaking. If you look at the geography, there's a great expense involved in the travel that he took. And even when he got to Jerusalem, this man was a eunuch. And by Hebrew law, in Deuteronomy 23, it says, no one who has been emasculated by cutting or crushing may enter the assembly of the Lord. By definition, a eunuch was not allowed into the inner sanctuary, yet he had a yearning, a desire to worship. And so he's coming back, and that's where the story picks up, and Philip joins him in the chariot. And he had already been to the Hebrew temple. He had already been to the Hebrew center of worship there in Jerusalem. He had already seen the Hebrew priesthood, but he could not be incorporated into Israel. And it tells us that he still had some longing desire that needed to be satisfied after Jerusalem. And on his way home, he was still searching. And that's what he tells Philip. I don't understand. He had not found God yet. But he was on that journey. He was reading scripture, but he still had not found God. Isn't that amazing? He had been to the very center of the church, Jerusalem. He had heard perhaps some of the things that were going on in Jerusalem, and being in the church, he still had not found God. I think that's so typical today of churches. People are in church. People go to church. They have not found God. They still have not found their deepest spiritual longings met. And for some, sadly, they don't have deep spiritual longings. They are satisfied with surface things and surface matters. But the scripture tells us that our deepest spiritual longings are met only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Philip is going to bring to this eunuch. And so we see him as he is invited to come into this chariot, and the man is asking, can you explain this? Philip then sets out to explain not only this passage, but I want you to note, from there, that is from Isaiah 53, Philip began to preach Jesus to him. Simply put, Philip looked back at Isaiah 53 and he said, that's all about Jesus, the lamb that was slain, the one who was led to the slaughter. In humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? Philip turned to this man and he said, that's all about Jesus. And he began to teach him about the Lord Jesus Christ, because this man needed to understand. I want you to also see that he found a tactful way to offer his services to this man. He asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He was concerned not whether the man was happy or that he was a church member or whatever. He wanted this man to know Jesus. He was concerned whether this man understood the scripture that he was reading. And it tells us that he didn't. The man tells us himself, this Ethiopian eunuch. And it's not because he wasn't intelligent. He was the man who was in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. You don't put someone with little understanding in that place. He was a man of great stature in his community. But the burning question that he still had was, what does this say? He did not understand the scripture, and he had a passion and a burning desire to do so. And that's planted in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Do you have that passion, that burning desire to know what scripture teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, of course, at verse 35, that's what Philip said. This is all about him. Not the news, not the weather, not the ball games and politics and business and anything else. You know, we can talk about all of those things, but what was the most important thing? He needed to hear about Jesus. That was Philip's singular message. The person that was spoken about in Isaiah 53 is Jesus, the Son of God, this suffering servant who gave himself as a sacrifice in the place of sinners. And with unwavering precision, Philip gave this message about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not send him to an institute or to a seminar or sign him up for a super program for government employees and ask him for a donation. He didn't give him a book of promises and enroll him in a 12-step program for confidence in Christian living. And he didn't sell him a package of self-esteem. He said, you need to know Jesus and repent of sin and trust in him. And he did. He embraced the Christ of Scripture. That's what the church is all about. The message, the business, the central focus of the Church of Jesus Christ is to declare Jesus, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the church throughout the world and in America as much as any other place is afflicted with a spiritual amnesia, forgotten what our primary calling is all about, our only calling. According to the Word of God, our only calling is to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the sinful world in which we live, out of which we have come by God's grace and for His glory. And rather than trying to make people happy and hope that they'll come to church, rather than being busy about other things that look good, the message of the church should be our primary focus, our passionate, burning desire that people hear Jesus and that we hear the message of Jesus preached from this pulpit and from our lives as we meet people, that they may, like this Ethiopian, come to know him and trust him. And the evidence of that was he had repented and understood, was they came to that place and he said, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, what did he say? He commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down, and he and the eunuch, and he baptized him because he had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this passage with the Ethiopian eunuch, we have the centrality of the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This Ethiopian convert, this black man from Africa, is received into the church by the power of the gospel. And through Isaiah 53, Philip was able to preach Jesus to him. I remember so well a Jewish man that attended with his converted wife our church. And I remember his name because it's the same as mine. We would often have conversation. And as things progressed, I gave him a copy of the Old Testament in English. He had no copy of that, and I invited him just to read Isaiah 53 and a couple of other passages, but primarily Isaiah 53. And the years passed and I had gone, and as I returned, I found that my friend had come to know Christ through Isaiah 53. His sufferings are there in Isaiah 53. The substitutionary atonement is there in Isaiah 53. His resurrection is there in Isaiah 53. His prevailing intercession at the right hand of God the Father for us, his people, is there. It's in Isaiah 53, and we should have a burning, passionate desire to know what it says there in all of Scripture, and that desire should translate then into a desire that people may know Jesus as Lord and Savior. One of my favorite writers, Charles Simeon, who held the pulpit for 57 years, interestingly, he didn't do well in terms of the community. They didn't like his preaching. This was in a day in which in England, the preaching had become so bad that you could buy a job as a pastor of a church if you had enough money. And there were none, if any, that were truly preaching the gospel. And coming to the scene is a man named Charles Simeon. And you know that he preached faithfully in his pulpit for over 57 years, I think it was, in the midst of being mocked by his own congregation, being held in effigy by those in the religious community, who would really take a little thing, you know, like a piñata or whatever, of Charles Simeon and take it through the streets and burn it and mocking him and showing their disdain for him, because he stood for one thing, the preaching of the gospel. He said this: if the wonders of redeeming love will not operate effectually on our hearts, nothing will. If the wonders of redeeming love will not operate effectually on our hearts, nothing will. I ask you, in the light of this story of the eunuch and the message of the gospel, is the wonder of redeeming love working effectually in your heart? Has it brought you, like this Ethiopian, to the place of, I want to trust Jesus Christ, that was sealed to him in the covenant seal of baptism when he came to the place of being incorporated into the church, the covenant family of God, brought in by baptism, and the outsider is now made an insider. No more restrictions as it was under the temple in Jerusalem, but all are welcome in the family of God. All who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Philip said, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He did. And from this, Philip saw that God was bringing the nations, a Gentile, into the family of God, fulfilling his purpose of bringing a people from the ends of the earth into the kingdom of his Son. What else do we learn from this passage? What is this passage teaching us today? Well, first, I think we can know that it tells us that we should improve our reading and understanding of Scripture, no matter who we are, no matter where we are. You can't study God's Word too much. No, I could take too much candy. I love candy. If you put a box of chocolate or cookies and they're there, I have no self-control. And sometimes you can eat too much. You know what I mean. You don't feel well sometimes, but you don't care. You just keep eating. We ought to have that same kind of a desire for Scripture, but we'll feel better. The eunuch was an important man. This man didn't think it was unworthy to read the Scripture. He was a busy official. He found time to be at work studying in the Scripture, and with a humility that longed for understanding, he searched the Scripture, and by God's sovereignty, he brought him someone who would teach him, and the Spirit opened his mind and heart to believe. Do you make it your practice to study the Word of God in order to understand it? It's a word from God. Shouldn't we want to understand what God has revealed to us? Do you seriously consider the Scripture, and have you longed for understanding it more and more? This word that we read today should teach us that, and we may also learn that we should take every opportunity that we have for its instruction. Look at the providential instruction that God afforded to this Ethiopian. Traveling home, he still did not understand. He needed some instruction, and God stepped in and sent someone to instruct him from God's word, and he took advantage of that. He took advantage of the presence of the teacher and of the instructor of the Word of God and the hearing of God's Word and the ministry of God's Word. And I would suggest that we should seriously take advantage of every opportunity we have to learn, to understand, to soak in, and to receive God's Word, and be reminded as well of the great power of God's Word in our lives. For it's only the Word of God and its power that brings salvation. This passage, as I said, is a great example of the plan of God to bring about the salvation of sinners through the world. He saves people through his gospel, the preaching of his gospel. And he calls us to take that gospel to the ends of the earth. If the Word of God is firmly believed in your heart and in your life, then you will hear that command as well. And you will long to be a part of that fulfillment. You'll desire to see it manifested in your life and be a part of the preaching of the gospel that goes to the ends of the earth. But you have to desire that. You have to be willing to do that. You have to be submissive to God's word and take it as God's word into your heart. Will you take God's plan of salvation and his message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like Philip, to the world, to those you meet, to the person that you see, and will you ask the Lord to send you to be the one that reaches someone for Christ? And pray, send me, pray, help me reach this person with your great message, for you alone are Lord and sovereign. May that be your prayer as it is mine. Amen.